preach something a little. Well, I got into this part and never got to the rest of it. Amen. So I have to change my title and everything. But that's all right. Amen. I'm going to be reading tonight from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 to verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 22. And for a title tonight, I'm going to call this Some Things to Flee and Some Things to Follow. Some Things to Flee and Some Things to Follow. Brother Holly taught us at Bible College. He said, if you'll just preach the word, he said, you'll never lack for something to preach. Now, if you're looking for sermon ideas, you might lack. If you're looking to knock it out of the park, you might lack. If you're looking for a masterpiece, you might lack. But if you'll just preach the word, you'll never lack. You'll always have something meaningful. We're going to eat here tonight from this word. And I want us at the very outset to talk to ourselves. And I want to say to Johnny Grissom tonight, don't just hear this, but do this. Don't just listen to this, but allow this to change you so that you can be the man or the woman that God intends for you to be. I think of the words of James, how that he said, sometimes we're like a person that looks in the mirror and sees our reflection. We see something that needs to change, but we don't have the courage or the motivation to change it. And we leave the same way we came. That should not be so. The purpose of the Word of God is to let us see ourselves, and then by the power of the Holy Ghost, to change some things that need change in our lives. So it is very possible tonight that we will hear something that the Lord can talk to us about and help us to be better Christians. That's the sole purpose of this lesson tonight. Amen. I didn't come here with anybody in mind. I didn't come here, trying to single somebody out, step on anybody's toes. I just got to reading this, and it just struck me. Amen. It's something I think very beneficial. So let's read, shall we? Chapter 2, 2 Timothy, verse number 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Notice that. Flee and follow. There are some things that we got to run away from, and then there are some things that we follow. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Some things to flee and some things to follow. You may be seated. The word flee means literally to run away from, to shun, or to escape. There are some things that we need to shun. There are some things we need to run away from. Now, I understand very plainly tonight, and I checked it, and yes, when we talk about youthful lust, but could I say this tonight, that some youthful lust stay with us for a lifetime. That's not just talking about sensuality and your physical body and your physical needs. That's talking about a whole lot more. I know some folks that are grown up physically and in years, but they're still youthful in some areas. And they still do some things that young people do and some things even children do. Have you ever seen a grown-up throw a tantrum? What a sad sight. Huh? So this still fits, doesn't it? This, you didn't grow out of this whenever you hit 21. You didn't reach some magical time when all of a sudden these things didn't matter anymore. I realize this is written to Timothy, who was a young man at the time. I don't know how many years of age he was. I don't think he was that young. But he was a younger man. And so Paul did tell him. He said, flee also youthful lust. Let's think a minute about some of the things, going beyond hormones and the sensuality. But some other things that accompany youthfulness. One thing that young people generally are is impatient. They don't like to wait. They don't mind you waiting on them. But they don't like to wait. Amen. If you're waiting on them to get ready, it's one thing. But if they're waiting on you, it's another thing altogether. And you know, I know some folks that haven't grown out of that. I know some folks that have some years and getting a little long in the tooth. But they're still impatient. And they still think that you know what's... you're holding me up here. Just get on with it. Amen. You could be looking at one of them. Amen. I'll just admit, I struggle a little bit with impatience. I kind of like to get things done. I like other people to get things done. As a matter of fact, I'm like the man. He was 80 years old, went to the doctor's office, and he had to wait on the doctor. And he got up after a few minutes, he walked up to the desk. He said, is the doctor going to be much longer? And she said, well, sir, we have to be patient. He'll be through in here in a little while. He said, well, ma'am, he said, I've got things to do. I've got to go. She said, what does a man of your age have to do? He said, I've got less time now than I've ever had in my life. Because when you're 80 years old, you don't have as much time left. That was his way. She was saying, well, you're old. You don't have anything to do. He was saying, I'm 80. Whatever I got to do, it's urgent. Amen. If I don't do it now, it may not get done. Amen. So you see, so even as you get a little older, we still struggle with impatience. We do. That's one of the youthful lusts, but we still struggle with that. Yes, we do. Amen. Maybe not everybody, but some of us do. Some of us still struggle with being impatient. Amen. Now, matter of fact, it seems the older I get, the more impatient I do get. Amen. I kind of realize I don't have as much time as I had one time. I got a whole lot more to do. Amen. Then self-assertion. That's a youthful thing. You've got to assert yourself. Amen. Self-assertion. Even that's not just a youthful problem. There are older folks that like to assert themselves. Amen. They want to be right at all cost. And you will hear me. I thought maybe this might fiddle somebody here tonight besides me. You ever run into anybody like that that's a Christian? That asserts themselves? I think that's a real thing we have to deal with. And I think one thing that a lot of young people are into is they love disputation. In other words, they like to argue. Have you ever met a young person who liked to argue? I mean, they'd argue about anything. Because they know so much. And Ben, have you ever met an old person who liked to argue? Yeah. Amen. I've met folks that just liked it. They just like to argue. And so that's a youthful lust, but it hangs on for an awfully long time. An elder man told Benjamin Franklin when he was in his early 20s, he said, "Mr. Franklin," he said, "you are a very, very smart man." He said, "but you are about as smart right now as you're ever going to be, because nobody can tell you anything." Man, Ben Franklin wised up, and he became a scholar, and he learned a lot after that, because he learned that he didn't know everything. You know, it's awfully hard to learn something while you're... There's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. And I know folks that would gladly trade an arm or a leg for another mouth. Like the fellow that came, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "I've finally done it." He said, "I came to God," and he said, "I laid my tongue on the altar." Pastor said, "I don't think so." He said, "It's not long enough." Some folks just like to argue. Hey, amen. They just do. Doesn't matter what it is. They're going to argue about it. Now, that's not right for Christians to do. We're not supposed to argue. Especially over senseless things. And I've heard very few people argue over things that really meant much of it. And then he talks about another youthful lust is the love of novelty. New stuff. New's better, right? New's better. Well, sometimes it is. And sometimes it's not. We should never dislike something simply because it's new. We should never dismiss something simply because it's new. But neither should we disregard something simply because it's old. Things have value. One thing that I've noticed about things that are older, they have stood a test of time. And they're still around for some reason. They have passed some tests. And other things that were at the same time, they were concurrent with those ideas and those thoughts and those inventions. Those things have passed on. But they still abide. Why? Because they have some worth. So don't disregard something that's old just because it's been around a while, and at the same time, don't disregard something that's new just because you have to learn something. I think some folks like the old songs because they don't want to learn new ones. I've heard people say that. "I don't know those songs." Well, you didn't know the old ones either till you learned them. Everything you knew, you had to learn. Don't dismiss something simply because it's new. And don't dismiss something simply because it's old. Old doesn't necessarily mean it's better. Has anything been improved in your lifetime? I bought a car a few years ago. It was an 81 El Camino. Nice. Beautiful. Had flames on the hood and flames going down the side. Bought it for my nephew. I liked it. Yeah, I had a Corvette engine in it. Whoop! It would go. But you know what? It was not nearly as nice to drive as what I'm driving now. That 20-something years makes a difference in the way automobiles drive and ride. That was fun, but it wasn't nearly as comfortable. They don't make them like they used to. They make them better. There are some things that get better with age, and some things are better when they're new. Amen. So we can't just regard something just because of its novelty, or disregard something. That's a youthful thing, to think that everything new is better. Some of you know better than that by now. Amen. But on the other hand, I know the Bible talks about that we forsake not the old paths, and that's true. They're there for a reason. Amen. And they're proven. And we're not going to change doctrine at all. At all. Amen. We're going to keep those things, and we're going to keep them in their original state. We're not going to try to change any of that. So there are some things that we flee. There are some things that we cling to. And then he talked about things to follow, to flee these things. Impatience. We don't need impatience. We don't need sensuality. We don't need to go around asserting ourselves, trying to get a lot of attention. We don't need to argue about stuff. And we don't need to dismiss something just because it's new or just because it's old. Those are all youthful impulses. As we live, let's grow wiser. And let's try not to give in to those impulses of youthfulness. And then he said, I want you to follow, first of all, he said, I want you to follow righteousness. Righteousness is a very simple concept. It simply means being right with God and right with man. It's a simple concept, but it's not easy to accomplish. To be right with God and to be right with man, that brings a great peace to a person, but it's not easy to accomplish. It's easier to be right with God than it is to be right with people. Right. Amen. It is impossible to please some people. It is impossible to please some people. And so the Bible said, follow peace with all men. Amen. And so we try to do that. The best way to find peace with some people is just to speak peaceably to them and then leave them alone. That's right. Yeah, I see several people shaking their heads. I think some of you have been there. That's the easiest way to be right with some people. Amen. I've decided the right way to treat some people is just let them be wrong. I heard about a preacher that got discouraged, and he became an undertaker, a mortician. They said, mine, what a switch. He said, I tried to straighten out the Smith's marriage, and I couldn't straighten it out. I tried to straighten out the Jones' kids, and I couldn't straighten them out. He said, but now, buddy, when I straighten them out, they stay straight. So there are some things you just can't. You just got to leave some people alone. We'll get to more of that in a minute. And so, but right with God, right with man. Amen. And then he said, follow faith. This word faith, pistis, in the Greek, means it's talking about moral character, moral rightness. Talking about your belief structure. Your belief structure. Amen. Your values, if you will. And so there were some things. That's what Jude was talking about when he said, contend for the faith. Contend for the body of beliefs. Amen. Contend for the doctrine. There are some things worth fighting for. And there are some things not worth fighting for. There are some hills worth dying on. And there are some hills that you ought to just give up. Amen. But faith, and having faith in God, never give that up. Faith in what's right. Faith in the Word of God. Never give that up. Faith in the church. Never give that up. Amen. Faith in your brothers and sisters. Never give that up. And I will, somebody said, well, I don't know if I can believe in them or not. They fail. Have you ever failed? If we make a mistake, does that mean we're just supposed to quit and crawl off somewhere and die? Does that mean we're just supposed to go back to the world because we failed now? This church was not intended, folks, to be a museum for perfection. It's a hospital to help the hurting. Amen. It's where we get healed. If you can't get healed here, where are you going to get healed? If you can't get saved here, where are you going to get saved? If you can't be forgiven here, where are you going to be forgiven? If people cannot forgive you here, then where are they going to forgive you? If God and the church can't restore you here, where are people going to be restored? You know, we got some growing up to do in some of these areas. God help us. Please listen to what I'm saying tonight. Just since I've been the pastor in this church, some people have come here that were backsliders and tried to come back and heard some conversation of some saints that drove them away again. Why would you talk like that? Why would you question whether they're going to make it this time or not? I hope you're hearing me. If there's one thing that gets under my skin, it's saints of God driving off people just because you think you're better than them. And your old stinking spirit is a stench in the nostrils of God when you do that. Your stinking self-righteousness. And you're going to face God with it someday. People that you drove away from this church because you couldn't keep your tongue. You didn't have enough compassion and enough mercy that when they came to the altar to pray them through and not criticize them. Amen. Hello? Am I still preaching? Hey, I'm preaching tonight. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about being a Christian. Not in name, but in word and in deed. All right. And then he said, follow charity. That is agape. That's love. That's love to the nth degree. That's love to whatever it takes. Now, you don't have to agree with people to love them. I said, you don't have to agree with people to love them. You can love people while they're still in their sins. You can love people while they're still imperfect. Amen. And we must. Amen. God surely loves us, and none of us are perfect. All of us are high. But we follow love. Follow after that. Follow after love. And then he said, follow after peace. Oh, what a wonderful... Sister Hart says, peace is a valuable commodity. And sometimes rare. Amen. I love peace. I love peace. Amen. I don't like the opposite. The Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You're never more like God when you're making peace. And you're never more like the devil than when you're stirring trouble up in the church. That's right. When there's trouble going on and you're stirring it up, and you're on your telephone talking, huh? That's what you're in fellowship with the devil when you're doing that. Hello? Come on now. Yeah, man, there's a few of you shouting. Amen. But you're stirring. Who are you helping out here? Do you think that's Christ-like? Tail bearer? When you hear some news about somebody, something bad, and you can't wait to tell somebody? Hello? Is this okay tonight? Are we still Christians here? Are we still trying and striving to be like Jesus Christ? Amen. First thing you need to do when you hear some bad news is pray. And then you need to swallow that and not talk about it to somebody else. Amen. Follow peace. Peacemakers. Peacemakers. Amen. It's good to take the first step. Well, you know, they started it. Well, you end it. Is that biblical? Amen. Seems like I read that in the Bible. It said if you come to the altar to offer, bring your offering, which we don't bring turtle doves and bullocks and all that. We actually bring praise to the Lord. Yes. But when you get ready to praise God and you get to thinking, you know, so-and-so, I know they're upset with me about something. He said, you go to them. And you make it right. You make it right. You do that with a great, with a right attitude. Amen. And you make it right, and then you go worship God. Now that's a Christian thing. That's not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing. But that's a Christian thing. Amen. That's peace. That's how you have peace. That's how you restore peace. And it's not an easy thing to do. Amen. Praise God. Hey, this is not for sissies. The Christian life is the most realistic and the toughest life there is. But it's the most blessed and rewarding. But it's not easy. Christianity and being living as a Christian comes at a price. The world doesn't understand this. And they'll not do this. But as Christians, we're called to do this. He said, follow righteousness, follow faith, follow charity, follow peace. And listen to this next thing he said here in verse number 22 at the end. He said, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So now he's talking about following fellowship. Following fellowship. Amen. These are your brothers and sisters. And so if we're going to be saved, we need to be part of the fellowship. I know some folks to drop out of the fellowship. They said, well, I'll just sit home and I'll get mine on the TV. Amen. I'll just pray and read the Bible and I'll get just the Lord and I. We got our own going. Amen. Going to keep the church out of it. Just me and Jesus. Got our own thing going. I think you're probably just deceived. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. And I've never seen a member of the body that can survive when it separates itself from the body. And I don't care how good it is. You may have the best eyeballs in the world, but you pull one of those eyeballs out and you set it outside the body and you see how long it survives before it starts stinking and shriveling and dying. You'll not survive outside the body of Christ. You need the body. Amen. And so we follow fellowship. That's important. God teaches fellowship. Brotherhood. Sisterhood. This is important. This is the hood. Then he talks about a few other things that flee. First of all, he said in verse number 23, I like this. He said, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Foolish questions. Amen. Some people would get around and argue about whether or not Adam and Eve had a belly button. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Now let me bring a little bit closer here. Amen. Now don't get upset with me here tonight. Okay? I'm just going to be Pentecostal. There are some people that will send you to hell because you wear a wedding ring. And there are some that will send you to hell because you don't wear a wedding ring. Those are questions of gender strife. You know, we have our positions. Each of us has our convictions. But when you try to force your brother and sister into your convictions, it's okay to discuss it and give biblical reasons and respect one another. But if you think you're better than somebody else because you do or you don't, you're walking in pride. There are some foolish questions. Now, there's nothing wrong. We have to discuss these issues. We have to discuss these issues. Amen. But not to the point where they gender strife. Amen. We're not ever going to agree on everything. We're not ever going to agree on everything. We're not intended to agree on everything. You know, we're so far off on some things. Some things... culture influences. Let me give you an instance. I know when we were at Bible college, Brother Holly always wanted the girls to have their hair up on their head, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But do you know that in some cultures, if a woman wears her hair up on her head, that's a symbol of prostitution? So there are some things in culture we just don't understand. We got to be careful about forcing some of the things we believe on somebody else. Some things are culture. Amen. How many people believe you need to take a bath every day? You can. It's nice, isn't it? Especially if you're sitting by somebody. But did you know? I guarantee you Jesus didn't take a bath every day. How could he? He didn't have indoor plumbing. He didn't have a bathroom. He didn't have a shower. Didn't have a bathtub. And I guarantee you didn't change clothes every day. Because you were doing good if you had more than one robe to wear. So I'm just talking about things that, you see, there's some things, folks, that we didn't cut folks a little slack. I've seen churches divided over foolishness. Foolish questions that gender strife to the point of separating over something that is not biblical. You can't find a scripture that says certain things. You have your convictions, you have your ideas, and that's wonderful. Stand for it. But don't send other folks to hell because they have a different idea. And don't think that they're less spiritual than you are. Is that all right? Good. Amen. Questions that gender strife that make you fight. That's what that's saying. Right? We get that place sometimes. And I've seen people just get so mad about certain things, and they get to talking about Christian things, supposedly. And I've heard some just get so mad they'd say, "Well, you want to step outside and handle this?" Did you know there was a preacher's meeting where that happened? A bunch of preachers got together. And that's what one of them told the other one. He said, "Brother, we just might better step outside and handle this." Huh? Now, is that Christian? We're not supposed to follow that. And these men were old enough to know better. Amen. So there's some things that you flee. Get away from. Amen. Now, I know. Now, look, I like to be right as much as anybody. But I've come to the conclusion that some people, you know, I just need to give them some slack and let them believe some things. Now, I'm not talking about doctrine here. I'm not talking about salvation issues. But there are some areas where we just need to leave well enough alone. and pray for them. Amen. Just give folks a little time. Give them a little slack. Amen. And then there's some other things he said, follow. First of all, he said, verse number 24, he said, listen closely. By say, the servant. Is that who we are? We are servants of the Lord. He said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Must not strive. Tell me how to get along in the body here. You don't strive. You don't fight with your brothers and sisters. That's what he said, isn't it? Does this make any sense to anybody? You see why I got hung up here? Now listen. He said, you don't do that. You flee that, the strife. He said, but be gentle unto all. I say, be gentle. That's how we're supposed to treat one another. Gentle. Gentle. You hear me tonight? Is this making sense? Is the Lord talking to anybody? Anybody been unkind lately? Anybody been ungentle? Amen. God help us. I'm talking about being a Christian tonight. I know it'd be a lot better if we was preaching something more exciting. But this is needful. Christians are supposed to be gentle. Is that all right? Amen. I hope the Lord brings us back to our memory when we want to be strive with our brothers and sisters. He said, be gentle unto all men. And then he says, out to teach. And out to teach. Now, the best way you teach people is by doing. By example. Now, it's okay to teach with word. Word's good. But the greatest lessons are by example. What was it Brother Tenney said? He said, some things are better caught than taught. I know I read a story one time about a guy that was, he was blind. And a blind person, you have to teach them everything. You know, you don't really have to teach a child how to pick up a spoon or a fork. You know why? Because they see you do. And they watch you, you pick something up and you put it in your mouth. So they do the same thing you do. They learn how to do that. A father generally doesn't have to teach his son a whole lot about shaving because he sees his dad in there shaving. And he knows how to do that. There are so many things that we learn just by watching somebody do. But when you're blind, you don't have that facility. You can't do that. And so there's a lot of things we learn just by observation. You're apt to teach. And the way that new converts learn to be Christians is by watching the church be Christians. They learn how to worship God because they see us worship God. They learn how to treat one another because they see how we treat one another and how we treat them. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That's apt to teach. That's how we do it. Amen. And yes, sometimes there are people that are not here tonight because somebody taught them the wrong way. I'm sorry, we have these casualties and how sad it is. You've got to be careful, folks. You've got to be careful. Amen. Any time you're around other human beings, you've got to be real careful. And one of the worst things I've ever heard people say, and oh, how many times have I heard it? That's just the way I am. Well, dear heart, if you're a Christian, you've got to change. If you're unkind, the Bible said, I'm talking about Christians. He said, you be kind. And it's not an option. He said, you be gentle. Amen. You teach by example. Amen. You follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, fellowship. Amen. And then he said, be patient. Well, that's tough. You know, there are some things it's easier for me to have patience with than other things. I don't find it hard to have patience with new converts. I don't find that hard at all. I find it very easy to have patience with people that are just coming to Jesus Christ. But I do have a harder time having patience with those that know better and have been around and heard it and heard it and heard it. Amen. It's a little harder to have patience with those kind of folks. One of the great things that happens to preachers, this is very interesting, is you preach and you preach and you teach and you preach and you teach and you preach and you preach and you teach. And then a guest speaker comes and preaches what you've been preaching. And somebody gets a revelation. And you know what I do? I say, praise the Lord! You got it! It doesn't matter how you got it or where you got it. You got it! That's all that matters. Amen. And so, we have patience. Amen. And then, he talks about following meekness. Meekness is a wonderful word. It means power under control. Meekness is a 500 horsepower engine doing 30 miles an hour. Because that's what the speed limit says. And there's a cop right behind you. Amen. That's power under control. You can feel that engine throbbing, begging, more. But meekness says, no, not right now. There's a time for more, but this is not the time or the place. That's meekness. Meekness is when you have the power, the authority, but you don't use it wrongly. You could crush somebody, but you don't. You could destroy them, but you don't. That's meekness. Amen. That's meekness. You withhold because you don't want to crush or destroy. It's also wisdom. Knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Amen. I'm talking about being a Christian here, some things to follow. And then he closes this out. And this is the most thing, folks, right here. The most important thing in human relationships is your motive. Your motive. What is our motive as a Christian? It's to see people saved. It's not to win an argument. You can win an argument and lose a soul. Our job is not to win an argument. It's to win a soul. Amen. There are times, you know, it's how you sit. Now, I like steak, but I slap me up beside the head with it. I want it served medium. I can't do baked potatoes, so a baked sweet potato, I can do that. With butter and the good stuff and a little parsley. You know, serve it right. Amen. And I love it. But don't hit me with it. Amen. And you know, we can do that with truth, can't we? Yeah. We can. Truth, the Bible said it's like a sword. You can cut people's head off with truth. You've got to handle it carefully. Very, very carefully. So we've got to keep our motive in mind. Now look at the closing here, what he says. He said that in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And that's very graphic. I like that picture. People opposing themselves. Amen. You're trying to get ahead, and you just keep getting pushed back. You know what the Bible said about God? It said God resists the proud. In other words, he pushes them back. So if you're not getting ahead, and you just keep getting pushed, you might want to check something. Check your motive a little bit. See if you got some pride issues. Maybe that God's resisting you and you're not making progress. because you're resisting him, and so he's resisting you. So he said, instructing those that oppose themselves, listen, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth. This is a very powerful statement. Did you know that repentance comes from God? You can't repent unless God grants you the gift of repentance. Let me say that again. You cannot repent unless God grants you the gift of repentance. I've heard people say, well, I'll come to God when I get ready. Oh, you will? No, you won't. You will not come to God unless God grants you the gift of repentance. You don't even know you're doing wrong unless God is wrong. You have no motive or desire. God gives you the spirit and the gift of repentance. That's what he's talking about. Amen. There are people, and that's how we need to pray for people. We need to pray, God, please let conviction come in their heart. Let conviction come in their life. I pray all the time, God, send the spirit of conviction in the city. Send the spirit of conviction upon the people of Athens, Texas. Send the spirit of conviction upon backsliders. Open their eyes. Convict them, God. Help them to see what's right and what's wrong. We're living in a world that has obscured right and wrong. Amen. And so motive is important, folks. We need to pray that folks will be brought to repentance. Not just to church, but to repentance. We don't need people just coming to church if they don't want to change. Amen. Now, I want people to come because this is probably where God's going to talk to them and help them to change. And it's not our job to run them out. Amen. But the motive is people to come to repentance. And then listen very closely to this last verse. And that they may recover. Everybody say recover. Recover themselves. And recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen. Amen. We can get to the place, if we're not careful, through rebellion and resisting. That the devil can he can use us. He can use our tongue. He can use our words. He can use our anger. He can use our attitude. And if we're not careful and we're not submitting ourselves, he can do it at will. If he needs somebody to criticize, he knows just who to choose. If he needs somebody to throw a hissy fit, you know what a hissy fit is? He's got some hissy fit throwers. And he knows just who to use. If he wants to destroy a service that's just beginning, he can find somebody he can just get a little attitude out of. Put a damper on a service. He'll do it. And there's some people that he can almost take at will because they have not submitted themselves. I want to be a Christian. Help me, God. I really want to be a Christian. There are some things I want to flee, and there's some things I want to follow. Amen. And this gives you a really good list of the things to flee and the things to follow. Amen. And it even gives you the motive. Amen. So that we can recover ourselves. Amen. So that we can find a place to start again. Amen. Out of the snare of the devil. Escape. Get out. Flee. Let's stand together tonight.